I speak to you in the name of God, for the love of God, to the glory of God. Amen. Good morning, everybody. I'm preaching here at St. John's Convent and in my heart to the people at St. George's who will get to see me on the screen. I'm so sorry I'm not there today. I wish I could be, and I look forward to the time when that will be possible. What can I possibly say about Thanksgiving that I haven't said many times? What can we possibly think about Thanksgiving that we haven't thought many times? I have preached nearly every year in different places for the past couple of decades on this wonderful day in our church year. And you have heard sermons year after year on Thanksgiving. All the obvious things that one can say about the readings from the scripture and this holiday seem to have been said many times. And it's a strange year, isn't it? Many of us feel like Pooh and Piglet on that photograph. So I decided to take a different approach this year. Instead of asking the usual question, what are we grateful for? Or what should we be grateful for? I decided to ask a different question. Why do I, and perhaps you sometimes, why do I so often feel unthankful and ungrateful? Now that's a much harder question to answer. It's embarrassing to ask, why do I so often feel ungrateful? Just a moment. Why do I so often complain and wish things were different than they are? Where is the challenge on this particular Thanksgiving after more than 6 months of lockdown and semi-lockdown in this parish, in this community? It's hard to ask this question partly because we believe, we know, we're supposed to be thankful. Everything we've ever heard from the Bible, from parents, from preachers, from our reading, emphasizes that we're supposed to rejoice as Christians, like that leper who came back to praise God. We're not supposed to be ungrateful complainers. But I am at one time or another, and recently perhaps more than others, and perhaps you are too. So I'm going to tell you some of the things that make me feel ungrateful, and I can get it off my chest. I am so tired of this COVID thing. I'm so wearied by worry about what I will catch, or worse, what I will pass on if I don't wash my hands for a full 20 seconds thoroughly enough, time after time, day after day. I am so tired of hearing about Donald Trump and the depressing and scary things that are going on around the US election. And who of us ever pays any attention to Canadian politics these days? I'm really missing my family in the USA, my friends. I am sick of Zoom, even though I'm using it to preach this morning. Although I need it, and if I admit, I'm even grateful for it, because I can stay in touch with friends and family. I'm tired of not being able to stop at Tim's for a coffee when I'm out doing errands or shopping. And I'm tired of not being able to go out and do errands and shopping. I want to get out of this convent for just a little while. I'm tired of going to meetings to talk about what we do or don't do about COVID in our church, in our community. We're going to have one after breakfast this morning here. Even our clericus meetings, which are usually an opportunity for our deanery clergy to support each other in our ministries, have been completely filled since March with the COVID crisis. But what I hate most of all, what I really hate, is feeling guilty because I don't feel grateful enough about all the blessings God showers on me day by day, hour by hour. And then I complain to myself because I just get so tired of feeling guilty. But you know what? I'm not so sure that God doesn't understand all of this. I know God understands all of this. God has to get tired too of seeing the mess we make of things, the things that have changed in our environment that probably make it easier for viruses to multiply. Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Many of us feel that way when we look at our political situation, our economic situation, the health crisis. So if Jesus could feel that way, it is hardly surprising that we would feel forsaken and alone and lonely and scared too. Our God is a God who has come among us and understands our human predicament. God encourages us to be grateful, as we've seen in all our readings this morning. But God does not, I earnestly believe this, God does not hold it against us when we are not able to feel grateful. So let me get back to my original question. Why do I feel so ungrateful? Well, there are several things to which I can attribute my own complaining and lack of gratitude, and maybe some of them will ring a bell with you too. For one thing, I have great expectations. Some of these are expectations which the society around me sets up and to which I feel entitled. I want things to go my way rather than having plans changed and canceled because of this COVID thing. I want to be protected rather than left vulnerable, stimulated rather than bored, calm rather than anxious, content rather than unsatisfied. Because it feels better to feel that way. I want to be like that leper that came back to thank Jesus rather than like the ones who seem to have assumed that their healing was their entitlement, and so they didn't bother to express thanks. But if I'm honest, I often feel like the other nine, or like they might have felt, although our assumption that the other nine were ungrateful might not be correct. Jesus assumes that in the way that Luke tells the story, but maybe they were just stunned, overwhelmed with their healing, and it never occurred to them to thank Jesus. Maybe they didn't even clue into who he was and that God was behind their healing. So that's another thing I think affects me in my lack of gratitude. Where do the blessings that I have actually come from? And there's a third reason why my frustration and lack of gratitude sometimes overwhelms me. And that is that I think of gratitude as a feeling, something that makes me feel good to feel, because then I know I'm a good person. Because that's how I'm supposed to feel, right? Well, we don't often have control over our feelings. And our feelings are usually just a clue to what else is going on with us. We do have control and choice around our actions and our words. So what if we thought of gratitude as a spiritual practice instead of a nice feeling? What would it mean to practice gratitude? Well, there are lots of clues actually in the scriptures this morning to answer that question. One of the most obvious is praising God, which we are doing here this morning. Now, maybe all of us don't feel like praising God. Maybe we're here and singing these wonderful Thanksgiving songs and hymns and thinking, but I wish I felt that way. But it doesn't matter, except to us, that we feel that way. We would feel better if we felt that way. But the important thing is that we are praising God. That's what we have. That's what our obedience is, to practice. And there are some other clues in the scriptures this morning, too. In the book of Deuteronomy, the issue is all about remembering. So remembering is something we can do as part of our spiritual practice of gratitude. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God. Do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. It comes up over and over again, all through Deuteronomy, actually. It is remembering what God has done for them, who God is, staying connected to God that allows the Israelites to know who they are. Often I'm ungrateful because I forget who I am, a beloved child of God, created uniquely by God in my mother's womb, as the psalmist says in Psalm 139 and other places in scripture. We read that as well. I am created by God to be who I uniquely am, with all my feelings that come and go and rise and fall. When I remember that who I am is first a child of God, my whole perspective on the world around me changes. In Paul's second letter to the Christians in Corinth, we hear another reason that we can often find ourselves feeling ungrateful, and a clue to another way of practicing gratitude. The point is this, Paul says, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God. Well, sometimes my own feelings of ungratefulness come from keeping myself safe and invulnerable, hiding in my own corner, as it were, rather than reaching out to the very people who are closest to me, some of whom may be lonely and scared and tired like me and need a friend to walk along the path with them. I'm tired of all this, Piglet says. I am too, Piglet. I am too. But like Piglet has Pooh, we have friends and families and co-workers to walk with. In the gospel story, it's interesting that the lepers are made clean as they went, Luke tells us. They had to get up, walk on the path before them, and there they were healed. The leper who came back had the extra grace of wanting to express his thanks, and then he too was sent on his way. Get up and go on your way, Jesus told him. Your faith has made you well. Remember, that's from Deuteronomy. Be generous to others. That's from Paul's letter. Stick together. That's from the gospel. I think that sums up gratitude as a spiritual practice for me at this point anyway. The feelings may come and go, but it is our practice of gratitude that is important. And these practices do, for me, come back around to my feelings as well. As I wrote this homily, I found my mood changing. I found it very hard to start writing this homily because I wasn't feeling very grateful and thinking, what is this Thanksgiving really about? But I found my mood changing as I was thinking and praying through it and then writing. In the midst of my lack of gratitude, I have found myself deeply grateful in spite of myself for several things. One, that I have a God who understands and supports me even in my lack of gratitude. Second, that I have Pooh to walk alongside me in the person of my sisters here, my friends, the people at St. George's, and all those who help support me. Pooh may not look a lot like the pictures we have of Jesus, but look more closely. Not just Pooh, but your sister is Jesus for you. Your spouse is Jesus for you. Your friend, your children, your family can be Jesus for you. We walk in the same road that Jesus walked, suffering with him, feeling disconsolate and frightened with him, and we walk with all the others in this dark world around us. And for that, I am profoundly thankful. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift.